Good evening. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Luke chapter 17. We will pick up where we left off this morning with the hopes of taking a few applications and applying a few things to our life. Not only is it always good to hear from God's Word, but it's also good to look at how we can personally apply it to ourselves, because that's one of the main things that we have to do as Christians, is to apply the very things that we know. In Luke chapter 17, we're going to look at verses 11 through 17. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met with him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save the stranger. And the title we had this morning was To Be Thankful for What You Got. Just to get a quick recap, we talked about the tragic 10, which consisted of the 10 men who all had leprosy and had a problem. We talked about some of the ailments that come along with leprosy, how bones and things will break, skin and things will fall off. And we also talked about the negligent 9, the 9 individuals who were healed but who did not come back to say thank you. And we talked about the thankful one who stopped, turned back, and demonstrated his appreciation by worshiping God. So as we look at some of the applications that we can take from this lesson, I want us to realize that differences make no difference when you're going through the same thing. For instance, you could take individuals who need to go to the DMV to get their license renewed. Some have to pay a traffic ticket. Some have to renew their license. Some have to do various things. But when you have differences, sometimes differences can bring you together. For instance, you may have heart problems. And thus, when you go to the hospital, they have you on the heart flow. On that heart flow, you might have white folks, black folks, people of all different nationalities. But the one thing that brings you guys together is the common thing that you have in common. Now, these men had leprosy. And leprosy caused 9 Jews and 1 Samaritan to be in the same place. It also caused them also to say, to cry out with a loud voice, have mercy on us. So let us remember that when it comes to differences in life, differences many times can cause us to end up in the same place. They can unite us when we have the same problem. Now, the second application I want us to take is this. We all have a deadly problem like the lepers, and that problem is sin. Turn with me to Romans chapter 3 and verse 10. I quoted this morning, but we have enough time to take a look at it and read it. So if you don't have it underlined in your Bible, you can take a look at it. In Romans 3, starting in verse 10, the Bible says, As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. Verse 23 of that same chapter says, For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Turn over to Romans 6, verse 23. We quoted these scriptures this morning, but we'll take the time to read it so you can see it as well. The Bible says, For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, the third application I want us to take from this lesson is this. We must admit our sins and cry out for help. Go back to Luke 17 and look at verse 13. In Luke 17 and verse 13, sometimes we have to ask for help, and we can't allow our pride and things to get in the way. Sometimes we have to ask for help when we have situations we can't handle ourselves. The scripture says, And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Now, they were asking for mercy because they were in a situation that had them separated and segregated from family and loved ones. They were in a position where the only thing they can do is just sit there and pretty much wait to die. And typically, when you are a leprous person during this time, you know, you live close to the graveyard just in case you died and your family and relatives would just bury you. So these individuals had an issue, but they cried out. And as a result of them crying out, you know, they were able to be able to experience some of the joys of doing certain things a certain way. In James 4 and verse 10. The Bible says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Now, when they cried out to the Lord, they didn't know if he would help them or not help them. But they cried out nonetheless. And in the process of them crying out, verse 14 says, and when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. So those individuals who cried out, the Lord saw them. Not only did he see them, when he saw them, he gave them a command. He told them to go show themselves to the priest. As we read earlier, as the scripture reading in Leviticus chapter 13, 44 through 46, and Leviticus 14, 1 through 8, it gives us some background and the reason as we why they had to go to the priest. Because if they were going to be cleansed, the priest had to declare them as cleansed, and then once that happened, they would be able to leave that place where they're at. But that teaches us that we must admit our sins and cry out for help. When we have problems, we have to confess our fault one to another. That's a biblical principle. And we have to ask forgiveness from God because his blood will cleanse us of all unrighteousness, but it does not cleanse us if we do not ask. So let us learn that lesson. The next lesson we can take for this lesson is this. God's power is not given until we act in faith. Verse 14 shows us, and when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest, and it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Many times when we are given instructions to do stuff, we got to ask a million and one question. But nowhere do we see that they asked the question, they just went. And as they went, they were cleansed. You know, sometimes we can get instructions of what we should do, and sometimes we don't like it. I want us to take a look at something in 2 Kings chapter 5. In 2 Kings chapter 5, and this is, I think, a timely example. This was one of the few individuals that was clean back in the day of leprosy. He, too, was not a Jew. But when he was given the instruction on what he needed to do by God's prophet, initially he didn't like what was said. And we, too, sometimes will not like the terms and conditions. For instance, you might go to the doctor and they might say you have to take a certain type of medication. And you've heard people that say taking this medication is not good, but if you actually, it doesn't taste good. But if you actually take the medicine, it actually works and it will actually heal your ailment. You have a choice to decide to do it or not. And 2 Kings chapter 5, look at verse 9. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand, and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Abner and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants spake, and his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he said to thee, wash and be clean? Then he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the sin of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. He was given a specific instruction, but he was mad when, you know, Elisha didn't even come out to greet him. He thought he was going to come out and greet him, but, you know, he sent his man out and told him exactly what he was supposed to do. Now, when he received that information, sometimes we could be like Naaman. We receive exactly what we need to do. But you know what? He was angry. He was mad. He was upset. He even started to say, you know, guess what? You know, he didn't like the Jordan River. The Jordan was a muddy and dirty river. It wasn't a river that looked clean. He went to give some other examples of all these things, all these places, of these bodies of water that are better than all of the water in Israel, right? But had he tried to go at Abner, far, or Damascus, guess what would have happened? He would have been a leper after he came up out of there. But what happened is this, and we can learn from this and understand and knowing this. When you do what God says like he says it, guess what's going to happen? You will be able to experience the power of God when we act in faith. That's why we're baptized. Baptism is a test of your faith. It makes sense to hear God's word. It makes sense to believe. It makes sense to repent. It makes sense to confess. But some people just can't get in their mind. It doesn't make sense to be baptized. But guess what? Baptism is a test of your faith. God put water in the plan. Just like he put the water in the plan with Naaman, you know what? The one thing we can learn is God saves when man obeys. And when you understand that, Naaman had a little issue, but you know what? Naaman also had somebody that was willing to reason with him and get him to say, look, if you were asked to do some great thing, would you not have done it? And as a result of that, it must have calmed him down, because we see he went on down to the Jordan, he dipped himself 7 times, and he was clean. Moral of the story is this. We might not always like what the scripture says that we must do, but if we do it the way God says it, we'll end up getting the results that we want. Heaven is on the other side. If we want to get there, we're only going to get there by doing what God says. No addition, no subtraction, no modification. All right. Now, the next point that I want us to glean from this text, go back to Luke 17. And we're approaching the conclusion. The next principle that we can glean from this text is found in verse 17. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? The premise is this. God expects for us to give thanks. We have to give thanks. If you do something for someone and they don't give thanks, you feel a certain way. How many of you have ever got mad when you've done something for somebody they didn't say thank you? You sit there and look at them and you're waiting on them to say thank you. And if they really trouble, you might say, are you forgetting something? What are you supposed to say when this happens, when somebody does something to you? Something nice? But this was Jesus. Jesus healed them of their ailment of leprosy, which was detrimental, which was dangerous, which could have caused death and discomfort, caused them to be separated. But only one came back, took the time to glorify God and say thank you. And it's interesting that it's highlighted in the scripture. They said, were they not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Makes me think, when it comes to the church, many folks that are Christian have been cleansed. And you look at the roll, and you look at the roster, and you say, well, where are those individuals who was cleansed, who've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, those folks who've been saved from their sin? Why are they not in the assembly when they can be here? That's what we have to understand. Jesus says that. Where are the 9? Were not how many cleansed at Arlington Church of Christ? Where they at? See, many times folks, they get kind of caught up in not paying attention to things of life, but we must understand and give thanks to God. Turn over to Hebrews 13. Well, meet me in Philippians first. Philippians chapter 4. When it comes to giving thanks, this gives us a good picture of what it can look like. Just like that gentleman, the thankful one, who came back and prostrated himself and worshiped God in a loud voice. You know, he had a great adoration and an appreciation for what God did for him. See, when someone does something nice for you or something good for you that you couldn't do for yourself, it's in your best interest to be thankful. It's in your best interest to be thankful, because God didn't even have to do that. But he did, because they asked for mercy. And he granted it to him. Philippians 4 and verse 6. The Bible says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Did they not make their requests known to God? They cried out from afar. Look what it says. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of a good report, if there be any virtue And if there be any praise, think on these things. So we need to give thanks and be thankful because the scripture teaches that. Turn with me to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13 and verse 15. As we think about the premise that God expects thanks. In Hebrews 13 and verse 15. Bible says, By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise in God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Did he not do that? He gave thanks to his name. You know, he wasn't quiet about it. He didn't even make it to the priest. The scripture is silent if he ever went to the priest, but I often wonder, did he go back and deal with Jesus and then go to the priest? I don't know. But, you know, if you live long enough or you live a faithful life, you might can ask that question and get an answer to it. I don't know. There's a lot of questions and things in the Bible I want to ask. I want to kind of know the details that's not listed. All right, the last point is this. Turn back to Luke 17. The last principle is this. Luke 17 and verse 16. The scripture says, and fell down on his face, at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. This is what we have to learn in life. Those who are close to God are not always who you would expect. Sometimes people look at the circumstance, and they would probably just automatically assume that those Jews were closer to God than the Samaritan. But by the evidence of their actions, it clearly showed that the Samaritan was closer to God than the actual Jews who had a relationship and understanding. So it reminds me of in Luke 18 in the very next chapter, when you have that publican and the Pharisee in verse 18, Luke 18, 10 through 14. Let's look at the mindset. Let's look at verse 9. And he spake a parable, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despise others. Now, that's a big problem when he's speaking a parable and he's talking about a group of people that trusted in themselves and they viewed themselves as righteous and they looked down on others. Can you imagine that? Does that go on today where we have a group of people that, you know, trust in themselves and they look down on others? I don't know. Maybe it does. I think it does. It says, two men went up into the temple to pray. The one, a Pharisee, and the other, a publican. If you know anything about the Pharisees, they were prideful and they thought they were the best. Look what he says. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterer, or even as this publican. Now, he just talked about all types of men. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven. But he smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Once again, you see, people that have a great understanding, they're asking for mercy. They're not puffed up. God be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. Now, when you think about that, those who appear to be close to God are not always, it's not always going to be clear. You know, sometimes they don't dress the part. Sometimes they don't look to be that. Now, and also in Luke, y'all remember the story in Luke chapter 7 when, you know, the book of Luke, it deals with a lot of stories that you can see where the person that you least expected to help were the very ones that helped. There was a story where the man, he was stripped and he was beaten and he was left for dead. The priest came and saw him and passed on the other side. The Levite saw him and passed on the other side. But once again, it was a Samaritan, the person that you would least expect to help him, who not only helped him, but took him to the inn, cleaned up his wounds, and paid for him to have a place to stay and said, if there's anything else that he needs, I'll pay you back when I come. Now, also, there's another story in Luke, chapter 7, 36 through 50, when that lady entered in Simon the Pharisee's house. Simon called this woman a sinner, said Jesus didn't know who she was, and then Jesus went on to proceed and teach all these valuable lessons, saying that this very lady who you called a sinner, who you thought I did not know who she was, she did the very thing that you should do. And he even asked them, who will love me more? You know, the person who sinned was forgiven much, and he said, I suppose. But when you start looking at that, Luke is illustrating that a major problem in society that was prevalent in the first century and is still prevalent in the 21st century is people are always judging people, and many times they're judging people with the wrong standards. And when you judge people with the wrong standard without the mind of Christ, what happens? You end up falling short. But those sometimes who are closer to God are not always who you would expect. And we see here that Samaritan was the only one that turned back and he gave thanks because he appreciated what God did for him. We have to understand these principles. These principles can help us that differences make no differences when you're going through the same problems. Problems actually have a way of uniting people. 9/11, tragic event. People of all different races, cultures, creeds, beliefs, guess what? They were united with the same problem, united trying to overcome that issue. And that happens today in this world over and over and over. We also got to realize, you know, these principles that, you know, we all have deadly problems like the lepers, and that's sin. We also got to remember that we must admit our sins and cry out for help. God's power is not given until we act in faith. Let us always remember that. Let us practice that. God's power is not given until we act in faith. And acting in faith sometimes means that you're going to step out on the element of hoping that what you want to accomplish is going to accomplish. You have to take risks and not be afraid to fail, which is something that I'm working through. I'm so calculated that I don't want to sometimes step out on faith, because stepping out on faith will make you uncomfortable. But you have to step out on faith, what the scripture teaches. See, God expects us to give thanks. If you go through your day without giving God thanks for something, you need to repent. Amen. And change your mindset, because the mere fact that you walk, you have more than enough reason to give thanks. Instead of counting the problems, count all the ways that you should be thankful. I'm quite sure they always outweigh. Those who are close to God are not always who you would expect. Just remember, Rahab the harlot was able to save her family because she had the faith enough to do exactly what she was told to do. She hung that scarlet thread, and all her individuals in her family that she wanted to be saved, when they came back, guess where they were? They were in her house. Often wonder, what did she tell them to get them to come into her house? After all, she was a harlot. And a lot of folks probably would have judged her, but for some reason, they were in that house. Be thankful for what you got is what we should always do. These lepers teach us there's a tragic 10 that represents the world. The negligent 9 represents majority of people in life. The thankful 1 represents those individuals who will take the time to study the scriptures, to investigate what it says, and do their dead level best to apply what it is that they know. If they make mistakes, they're willing to repent, they're willing to confess, they're willing to make things right. If you're here today, you never obeyed the gospel, you must hear the word, believe that word, repent of your sins, confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you're now able to be baptized. Once you're baptized into Christ, you must remain faithful unto death. And if you remain faithful unto death, Jesus has promised to give you a crown of life. You will hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. If you've done that in the past and you went back to the world, you haven't been thankful, you haven't been living the way that you know that God will have you to live, you have an opportunity to make that right today. Please come while together we stand and sing the invitational song.